This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
While the world waits for the coronavirus vaccine, United States has already rolled out its first shots to its frontline workers.
Staying with the UK, and Britain is due to begin its rollout of the world's first coronavirus immunizations using the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine today.
How did the vaccine come so quickly? Is the vaccine safe? Whose vaccine should I take?
First Britain and then the US. Both these countries have started the mass vaccination campaigns against the coronavirus. All this within a year of the pandemic breaking. People are used to a slow pace of science. A vaccine takes anywhere from 5 to 10 years to be made. Since everything is moving at a fast pace, there are many questions. We are doing a two-part series on the questions related to vaccine development and administration. Hi, I'm Menaka Rao, the host of this episode of the Suno India Show. In the first episode of the series, we will explain the various stages of clinical trials and how it is different this time around. We also address the concerns related to the possible long-term side effects of these vaccines. For this series, we spoke to several experts in the past few months. Let's go to our first question. How can the vaccine be developed so fast? What is the due process that needs to be followed? We first need to understand how the COVID-19 vaccines were developed so quickly. A lot of the quick success comes from the fact that scientists have been working on coronaviruses for more than a decade. This includes work on SARS-CoV-1 and MERS, that is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. Some also worked on the vaccines. This July, my colleague Padma Priya spoke to Dr. Shahid Jameel, who is currently the director of Trivedi School of Biosciences at Ashoka University in Gurgaon, where he explained this process.
The question is, how come so many vaccines got developed so quickly? And the reason for that is that people have been researching vaccines. People have been developing those platforms. So the DNA platform was available, the viral vector platforms have been available, and people who have been working on these platforms very quickly stitched together the genetic components of the new virus into those vectors and produced vaccines. So it's really sustained efforts of scientists around the world who have created these platforms that have led to this really explosion in vaccinology that we see today.
So science has helped find competitive vaccine candidates. The second part of the question is the process. I spoke to Amar Jaisani, an expert and teacher in bioethics and public health. He's also one of the founders of Indian Journal of Medical Ethics. He explained the four stages of clinical trials and their significance. Dr. Jaisani explained that the vaccines are first tested on animals before human trials begin. After the animal testing, the first phase is simply to check if the vaccine is safe.
The first phase of clinical trial is the most important for us, because if a totally new substance is given to the human being and it reacts very badly, then a perfectly healthy person may get injured or may die. Once it is proven to be safe, then you can talk about its effect on the disease or its effect on prevention of the disease.
Needless to say, if the drug is not safe, the trials are called off. The second stage looks at immunogenicity. Dr. Jaisani explains what immunogenicity means.
The basic principles of vaccine development is that when it is given to the body, body looks at it as an antigen which is similar to the disease organism that you want to fight against. And so body develops antibodies against it. Second phase, where you want to find out the immunogenicity, that is the antibody development against the vaccine that you have given, right, where slightly larger number of people are tested.
So far so good, right? But this is not enough to show that a vaccine helps prevent disease. We need to measure efficacy. How is that done?
So the phase 3 is on the large number. And what they try to find out is that in the actual field condition, are people protected from the disease? Right? You get infected. Once you get infected, body develops antibodies and tries to stop the disease from taking place. Or even if the disease takes place in the body, it tries to ensure that it remains mild and self-limiting. It does not become moderate or severe, which becomes life-threatening to the person.
Phase 3 is done on a large sample running into tens of thousands of people, said Dr. Jesani. Usually, the studies are undertaken on various sites to incorporate people with different biological makeups and living with different kinds of health systems or economic backgrounds. Phase 3 is also double-blind, meaning half the people in the trial get a vaccine, that is the intervention arm, and half get placebo, which is the control arm. Both the trial participants nor the people administering the solution know which arm the trial participants are in. It was after phase 3 that you heard headlines like these.
In what could be a potential breakthrough in the battle against COVID, a vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech has shown a 90% efficacy rate in a trial with more than 43,000 participants.
What does 90% efficacy mean? And just keep in mind, do not confuse it with efficiency. That is a completely different concept.
If those who are getting placebo, that is no vaccine, if large number of them are getting infection as compared to those who are getting vaccine, then you have come to a conclusion that this vaccine is working because it is preventing disease as compared to those who are in the control arm or in the placebo arm. This provides you the extent to which the protection is provided. And that extent, the degree of protection, is called efficacy. So you can say that, well, as compared to placebo, 60% are protected, or 70% protected, 90% protected. These figures that you are seeing is all comparative figure. They are not absolute figure. They are in comparison to the disease that is found in the placebo arm. So this is the three phases which determines whether a new substance, a vaccine, is really having efficacy or not.
Efficacy is a comparative figure. It is determined under laboratory conditions. This data has been presented to drug regulators of the world for emergency use authorization, that is, to administer it to the masses. There is still more to this answer. Bear with me. Phase 4, remember? In phase 4, you study variables where you weigh potential harms versus the strengths of the vaccine, such as cost effectiveness. This helps determine how the government can administer the vaccine.
From the efficacy, you have to test the effectiveness. Because if in a population, if some infection is very minuscule, then you cannot use a vaccine to vaccinate the entire population. It is useless. Because you are putting so much of thing with, and exposing so many people of at least some harm, potential harm, only few people are going to be protected. You also have to look at cost effectiveness, that what is the cost of the vaccine, and when you prevent the disease, what would be the benefit to the society. So all those things, studies are done after efficacy is found out and decided whether it should be used for the full population or it should be given to only certain kind of population who are more vulnerable to that kind of infection or disease. After third phase, you may get license to market it, but whether the government would like to give it to everybody or not would depend upon the effectiveness rather than, you know, just efficacy. So if it is going to such a large number of people, are there some, side effects, what we called adverse events or safety concerns, which were not captured in 20,000, may manifest in a billion? And if they are manifesting, how frequently they are manifesting? Now, all this thing needs to be found out. So it is done normally by using a phase 4. One is they try to have what is called pharmacovigilance program. Now, pharmacovigilance program is a program where they monitor different kind of populations, where report comes about any kind of cases of adverse events there. In addition, they also do certain studies, you know, in order to determine if it is having certain problem there.
Some scientists have said that most side effects develop a few weeks after administering the vaccine. So by now, we should have a good idea. Dr. Jesani said that we can never be so sure. For instance, in 2009, one of the first variant of the flu vaccine developed rapidly after the H1N1 influenza pandemic caused necrolepsy after mass vaccination. Necrolepsy is a chronic neurological disorder where the body is unable to regulate sleeping cycles.
In science, you can never prejudge anything. In science, you always wait for the evidence. You can say that, well, as of now, given current evidence, the vaccine is safe. Go ahead and take it. Except few precautions that you may require, you know, for anaphylactic and allergic issues and all. It seems to be all right. But it depends upon, you know, what evidence you have. You may say that, well, it is good now, but I don't know. After 6 months, it may not be. I would not venture that kind of stuff. It would be speculative. It could be just to give you and people, confidence that your vaccine is going to be all right for all the time. No, I can't say it. I can't say it.
Are you very sure the vaccine makers have not missed any steps? Has the trial passed all the hoops required? How can the different phases of the trial be run parallelly?
In some cases, phases of trials were run parallelly. For instance, Bharat Biotech vaccine was given permission to run phase 1 and phase 2 parallelly. Is that legitimate? I asked Dr. Jesani.
Now, coming to the larger question that you have asked about this whole speeding up the trial, you know, it is well known as Operation Warp Speed, warping. Warping means, as you said, that we are trying to combine the phases. You are not trying to bypass the phases. And that is, I think, a strong point made by regulators and the companies, saying that we are not bypassing phases. We are not cutting the corners. We are speeding up the things. So what they do is that when you are doing a phase one, you prepare for the phase two. You just have everything ready. Otherwise, what normally is done, phase two is done, phase one is done. You analyze the whole data, and then you design the phase two. Again, go back to the regulator, get permission, and then prepare all the phase two centers and all. So that way, it takes time. So say, okay, in anticipation of the previous phase becoming successful, you design the next phase ready so that as soon as the data are analyzed, you are able to go to the next phase. That way you cut down the time. That was the whole idea.
The other ways of cutting the time for a trial is a bridging trial, like the one Serum Institute is conducting with its AstraZeneca vaccine. This takes a smaller sample size in India. The logic is that the vaccine has already been tested in a bigger population.
But what about the long-term effects? The vaccine trials have barely lasted 1 year.
While the vaccines that have been approved have cleared the 3 phases, but Dr. Jesani said that one of the concerns is that the phase 3 trial is much shorter.
Yeah, what normally they do it in a vaccine trial is that the phase 3 is a longer one than only 2 months as it was done in this case. What will happen? They will have to do now is that they will have to, follow up cohorts of people who took vaccine for the next 1 year or 2 years to see whether they are developing any new, side effects or adverse events. But they will not have active control to find out, you know, to compare with that. They will have to use what we call historical control.
Dr. Jesani argues that phase 3 is unique. This is because it has a control and interventional arm that lets scientists compare the impact of vaccine as against a placebo. A longer phase 3 trial would give better data to understand efficacy. It is not replaceable with a phase 4 where everyone is being given the vaccine.
Now, once everybody gets it, you get some information about the long-term consequences, but it is a part of the phase 4, not as a part of the phase 3. But that is not sufficient to actually find out all these long-term sequelae of use of the vaccine will be there. So that data will remain somewhat deficient in coming time. Perhaps they may find some other way, scientific way, of capturing that kind of data by having certain specialized phase 4 trials. But they will have to do some methodological innovation to see that long-term effect of the vaccine is captured properly.
So even if some vaccine candidates have been cleared for mass vaccination, the drug regulators have to find a way of instituting studies that can help get more data to understand the long-term effect of these vaccines. In the next episode, we will explain the processes involving emergency use authorization of the vaccine and the various concerns related to the transparency of companies during the trials.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You were listening to the Suno India Show. You can listen to more episodes on our website, sunoindia.in, or subscribe to this podcast on Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, JioSaavn, Spotify, or Gaana. Suno India produces a wide range of exclusive shows, ranging from current affairs to history, to children's stories to climate change. But what brings all these podcasts together is the need to tell stories that are unheard or underreported. Do check out our podcast on sunoindia.in. As an independent platform, Suno India relies on you, our listeners, to bring to life stories that matter. Please consider supporting the work we do. Visit our website sunoindia.in for more information. Thank you.